Radio Prague News.
The junior coalition party Public Affairs has announced it will shelve its decision on whether or not to leave the cabinet until the end of June. Parliament is said to open a debate on the government's key reform bills, and the Czech Helsinki Committee has launched a campaign in aid of children with jailed parents. With the parties of the centre-right governing coalition deadlocked over personnel issues, the leadership of the junior party Public Affairs has announced it will shelve its decision on whether or not to leave the cabinet, conditioning the move on a new set of demands to be met by its coalition partners. The junior party, which has accused its partners in government of trying to marginalise its position in the wake of a corruption scandal, said on Tuesday that it would leave the cabinet at the end of the month if its personnel demands were not met and if the government failed to push its key reform bills through the lower house by that date. Prime Minister Petr Nečas said he welcomed the chance to push ahead with reforms, but said his party's position on the junior coalition party's personnel demands remained unchanged. The Prime Minister has made it clear he will not be pushed into a cabinet reshuffle on the whim of the junior coalition party, and considers the offer made, the post of Deputy Prime Minister linked to an anti-corruption portfolio, to be perfectly adequate. The lower house of parliament is said to open a debate on the government's key reforms on Tuesday. The bills are geared towards streamlining the country's welfare and healthcare systems, introducing a single rate for parental benefits and changing welfare for disabled persons. MPs are also to debate a proposed hike in VAT that should pay for the overhaul of the country's pension system. The Nečas cabinet has said it will link its future to the said reform bills in a vote of confidence, but has not cleared up the technicalities of how and when it would be prepared to take such a step. The Czech Helsinki Committee has launched a campaign in aid of children who have one or both parents in prison. The head of the Invisible Children Project, Dana Vrapcová, says that the Czech authorities are still following the policy that the less children see of a parent in jail, the better. The Helsinki Committee has approached both the Justice Ministry and individual jailhouses with a request that children of jailed parents be allowed regular contact with them and get help in understanding the circumstances that led them there. Currently, at least 20,000 Czech children have one or both parents in jail. The blood plasma technologies and production company Diag Human says it has filed more requests for seizure of Czech state property with courts in the United States, United Kingdom and other EU member states. The company, which claims it is owed close to 10 billion crowns by the Czech state for damaging its business interests, has had similar claims recognized by Austrian and French courts. A number of Czech artworks were recently impounded by bailiffs in Vienna. The Czech side is trying to prove that the arbitration process is not yet closed. Doctors at Prague's Bulovka Hospital have announced they will be conducting free tests for tuberculosis among Prague's homeless community. The tests are being paid for by Prague City Hall, which wants to isolate sufferers and prevent the spread of the contagious disease. Although the Czech Republic has one of the lowest TB rates in the world, last year doctors registered 662 cases. The homeless are considered a high-risk group. President Václav Klaus recently signed an amendment to the law which will formally end the practice of vaccinating newborns against TB across the board. The police say they have retrieved the body of a 44-year-old German tourist who went missing at the weekend after taking a boat out on the Máchovo Jezero lake. The man's body was found floating in the middle of the lake, and the police have ordered an autopsy to ascertain the cause of death. And finally, a look at the weather forecast. The present heat wave should give way to a bout of cold and rainy weather on Thursday, when day temperatures are expected to drop to around 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, broadcasting from the Czech capital. My name is Jan Richter. In today's show, a loophole in recently approved legislation once again allows the sale of new synthetic drugs. Then, a film about politicians shot by mentally handicapped people wins the country's top documentary prize. And later we stay with film to explore the life and laughs of the Czech actress Lida Bárová. All that and more coming your way, so please stay tuned. New or newly reopened specialty shops in the Czech Republic are once again selling highly dubious synthetic drugs. While legal for the time being, experts warn that substances, if used recreationally, can prove extremely hazardous to health. In April, Czech legislators passed a bill adding more than 30 such drugs to a list of banned substances. But manufacturers and sellers have managed to work around the law by slightly changing the formulas involved. Jan Wellinger has the details.
A warning about use is included on the small packages of synthetic drugs once again being sold on the market, and sellers may pretend the substances are novelty items not intended for internal consumption. But neither is fooling anyone. What else, say specialists, could the synthetic drugs be for? The particular danger of the new products is that no one can be sure of the hazards or side effects, from strong addiction to damage to users' health, or worse. Jindřich Vobořil is the government's anti-drug coordinator, who makes clear anyone trying the products is putting their well-being at risk.
Well, I think everybody is at risk, but obviously especially young people who die of overdose, for example, because they have no experience how much they should take. I doubt that they've been much tested on humans, and there's obviously no... If you buy a pharmaceutical product, you get an instruction pack, you don't have it with this, so we know very little about it.
Czech TV, for example, reported that you can't know what will happen. They say that it could even result in death, that cannot be ruled
obviously,
out.
Obviously, there have been some deaths with methadone reported from all over Europe. And one of the new designer drugs that apparently being sold on our market again now is called new methadone. So it's probably a very similar synthetic drug to the old methadone. I think that's a new phenomenon that is probably going to be happening for a long time now. It's probably going to be a new situation, a kind of a drugs market different to the old criminal mafia type market, illegal drugs. Somebody found a way of doing it this way. Synthesize new drugs, sell it as fast as possible until governments put this particular drug on the list of illegal drugs, synthesize new one. I think that's something we are expecting to happen.
Basically, sellers are relying on the fact that the system isn't quick enough in being able to ban the substances.
Exactly. The system, we've been in Czech Republic extremely fast. The whole process took not even 4 months, but 4 months is enough to sell a number of tons.
According to Jindřich Vobořil, the government is planning changes to allow the government rather than parliament to issue at least temporary bans of 1 year to keep suspect substances off shelves. That would allow proper tests to be conducted to prepare the ground for permanent bans, while depriving sellers of their legal window of opportunity. Specialty stores not allowed to sell the products even temporarily would then lose incentives and perhaps even go out of business. Jindřich Vobořil again.
We think that that's not going to be profitable enough to maintain the shops. The whole idea for the shops is to have at least 6 months of sales. So if they have very short time, it's probably not going to be profitable enough to do it.
How soon the issue will be resolved is still a question, but experts say the government will have to act quickly to prevent the damage done, to stop further synthetic substances from legally making their way into the hands of new, often young, first-time users. Unlike alcohol or cigarettes, Mr. Vobořil says, on synthetic drugs, there's not even a ban of 18 years and over, which could have at least slashed at least some of the threat.
Thank you, Jan Wellinger. Now, the Czech Republic's prestigious Pavel Kotecký Award for Best Documentary went this year to the film Earthlings, Who Are You Voting For? The movie shows what happens when a group of mentally handicapped people come up to politicians in the middle of an election campaign and ask them questions they might not expect. Directed by experienced filmmaker Linda Jablonská, parts of the movie were in fact shot by her students at a workshop run by Inventura, a Prague-based NGO that supports the artistic work of people with learning disabilities. Linda Jablonská explains.
What we did is that this organization work with people with mental handicap or people with learning disabilities, and I was working there as a lecturer of a documentary workshop with those people. And so with this workshop we decided we're going to make a film. And the film basically was about pre-election meetings and election itself. And with my students, people with mental handicap, we were driving around Czech Republic and visiting pre-election meetings, asking politicians and also the voters about whatever questions.
Well, for those who cannot or haven't seen your movie yet, how would you describe the way politicians generally reacted to these questions? Because it is unusual that people with mental handicap come out to politicians and other public figures asking them these kind of questions. What were their reactions?
Well, the advantage of my students is that their questions are quite unexpectable, I think. So also the reactions of the politicians sometimes were a bit unexpectable. But it varies. Some politicians, I'd say, they haven't even noticed that there's something a little bit different. And the others were kind of like, some of them were treating them as kids or children. I don't know.
Why did you choose politicians? I mean, this is the third, I think, movie you've made about Czech politics. But do you think that politicians are different in any way from ordinary people in their reactions to people with mental handicaps? Why did you pick politicians?
Well, actually, it wasn't planned. We were looking for some topic for the documentary film, and the elections were there. It was everywhere. And so we decided, well, this is easy, and this is what we're going to make. And the fact that I was actually on the same meetings as I was 4 years ago when I was shooting my film about young communists and young conservatives, it's something which I don't really understand, but it's definitely not in my mind that I want to make political films.
How did your students, what did they learn, and what was their take on the whole thing, on the whole experience?
Well, I think they're quite happy that they could, we still go on actually in the documentary workshop, and so I think they're quite happy that they can go on with working with cameras and microphones and so on, and then can make films. I think for their lives it's quite a big change actually, even though it's not their job, but comparing to their regular works, as because some of my students work, for example, in KFC, selecting garbage basically, so I think this type of work is quite nice for them, and the experience of all this publicity and so on is also, they're very, very happy.
I was talking there to the documentary filmmaker Linda Jablonská. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. In this edition of Czechs in History, Rosie Johnston explores the life of Lida Bárová, the femme fatale of Czech cinema.
Toť obraz tvůj nedá srdci spát, proč obraz tvůj bláznivě mám rád. Láska má jediná, dívko v modrém, si jen ty a zase ty, a potom žádná víc. Tisíce žen okolo nás jdou, tisíce hvězd, které zapadnou, nad nimi zářími, jen tvůj úsměv mám víc.
Lida Bárová was one of the most famous and successful Czech actresses to have ever lived. Her career spanned over 70 years, in the course of which she starred in a whole number of both Czech and German film classics. She even made it into Federico Fellini's I Vitelloni in 1953. But she's perhaps best known for her life off-screen, as one of Czech film's most unhappy characters. Lida Bárová's beauty attracted the attention of Josef Goebbels, and her career, tragically for her, reached its peak in Nazi Germany shortly before World War II. Eva Urbanova is from the Czech Film Archive. She says that Lida Bárová's career started in 1931, when Lida was still very young.
Lida Bárová byla především velice krásná žena, byla krásná.
Lida Bárová was quite simply a very beautiful woman. She was already beautiful as a young girl. She was extremely charismatic and had lots of what we call sex appeal today. So she couldn't fail to be noticed by the people making the movies. And she herself wanted to be an actress, so she went to the conservatory to study acting. But she didn't finish her studies, because when she was very young, when she was 17, she got an offer to star in a film. And it turned out that she wasn't just a pretty face, she was good at acting too. So she didn't go back to school, and it was here that her film career began.
Kontinuální pořád.
To ložím vítima.
No proč ne? Leží se na něm docela pohodlně.
Co ty o pohodlí víš?
This is an extract from one of Bharatha's most famous films, Dívka v modrém, or Girl in Blue. In the movie, Bharatha plays a 17th century countess who gets brought back to life in 1930s Czechoslovakia. Here she is speaking in an antiquated sort of Czech. The dialogue, it's said, she wrote herself. Eva Urbanova says that this was quite a typical role for Bharatha.
She played young girls especially, but it is true that in her beauty there was a sort of maturity and spirit, so that meant that she often ended up playing educated women, and playing them well, despite the fact that she wasn't all that educated herself. She really had lashings of charm and received a lot of offers from foreign studios. One that she turned down, which she regretted for the rest of her life, was from MGM. She always said afterwards that if she had taken it, she would have got out of Central Europe before World War II began and would have got out of the Czech-German surroundings that caused her so much misfortune and unhappiness.
Bharatha turned down MGM but accepted an offer from Germany's UFA in 1935. According to her biographer Stanislav Motl, making it in Germany had long been the dream of most of the Czech acting world. But, as Eva Urbanova says, there were clouds gathering over Europe at the time she chose to go.
Dostala nabídku hrát v Německu.
She got an offer to go to Germany. This was before the Second World War, but after the Nazis had come to power. She wasn't starring in any political films, though. She continued to play beautiful young women in what were the blockbuster movies of the time. One of the most famous of her films from the period was Barcarolle, which Germans still watch today. And it was here that she had her first fateful encounter, which was with the actor Gustav Fröhlich. He was a massive star in German film at the time, and she became his lover.
Bharatha's beauty attracted the attention of some people in very high places.
Hitler became infatuated with her, it is said, but this only lasted for a short while, and their relationship remained platonic. But it was Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's second-in-command, who fell head over heels in love with her and became her lover. He was completely obsessed with her and willing to leave his wife, his family, for her. And as she herself admitted in her memoirs, before she got spooked and started revising them, she herself said that she was enchanted by him. He may have been a bad person, but as a young girl, she saw him as a powerful minister in a foreign government and a charming man.
Legend surrounds Lida Bharatha, perhaps not helped by the fact that she published two contradictory sets of memoirs during her life. She told one biographer that Fröhlich slapped Goebbels in a fight over her. She told another that Fröhlich slapped her when he found out about Goebbels. In recent years, a third biography has come out. It was written by her friend Stanislav Motl.
Until the end of her life, this was her biggest trauma. Until the end of her life, she was completely unable to say in public how it actually was with Goebbels. She battled with it within herself. She was never able to say that she had loved him in some way or another. And so, she had excuses. She said that she was scared of Goebbels. Then, another time, she said that she had been naive. And then the third thing she said in one of her memoirs was that she loved his love for her.
Someone who didn't love Goebbels' love for Bharatha was the Nazi commander's wife. Here's Eva Urbanova.
Jejich vztah byl takovým skandálem, že ona v podstatě...
Their relationship caused such a scandal that she was banned from starring in any more German films. Her career there was over. She was banned from appearing at the request of Goebbels' wife, who was a good friend of Hitler. She went to Hitler and told him that her husband had gone half crazy over some Czech actress, and Hitler put a very quick stop to it. Lida Bharatha came back to Prague.
Lida Bharatha se vrátila do Čech.
Bharatha was jailed for a year and a half after the war for having collaborated with the Nazis. Her sister, who was also an actress, was blacklisted because of Lida and subsequently committed suicide. The girl's mother was also taken in for interrogation, where she suffered a heart attack and died. Upon release from prison, with very few remaining relatives in what was then Czechoslovakia, Barava emigrated to Austria, where she remained for the rest of her life. She returned to the Czech Republic on several occasions after the Velvet Revolution in 1989, and those who met her often talked of her as a chain-smoking, rather sad and very pretty old woman. Stanislav Motol was one of the people she visited.
There are still a lot of myths about Lida Barava doing the rounds. When she died in 2000, the Czech Culture Ministry refused to put any flowers on her grave, and I asked why. And one high-ranking official from the ministry said, well, she was a collaborator. And so, of course, I asked, do you have any proof of this? To which he said, well, that's what people say. She'll never be as popular as actresses like Adina Mandlova or Natasha Golova, because she'll always have a stain upon her name. But on the other hand, I do a lot of lectures about her and show a lot of her films to students, and these young people of about 20 or 30 years of age, they're more sympathetic. They understand.
The writer Stanislav Motol, ending that edition of Czechs in History by Rosie Johnston, that was first broadcast in July 2008. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a rerun of Sound Czech, our Czech language learning program, brought to you by Jan Willinger.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck. Today's song is called Hawaii, Hawaii, and it's by the Czech band Laura a jej tygři, or Laura and Her Tigers. In the song, Laura a jej tygři sing Mám doma Hawaii, I've got Hawaii at home. The reason? In Czech, mít Hawaii, to have Hawaii, means to have a break. A little R&R, time to kick back. The holidays, especially the summer holidays, are great for that. And mít Hawaii, to have Hawaii, is a great expression. It's easy to imagine yourself on a forgotten island with a cocktail in your hand and your own Ginger and Marianne to keep you company. When you tell someone you had Hawaii on your holidays, it means you probably had a pretty good time, even if you weren't really in Hawaii, but only at your cottage. Hey, you can meet Hawaii even in the comfort of your own home, drawing the blinds when nobody's home, and grabbing a quick, well-deserved nap. A similar expression to meet Hawaii is meet lážo plážo, to have it really easy, or to be able to take it easy. V těchto dnech to má lážo plážo v práci. These days he's got it easy at work. Maybe everyone else or the boss is away. Lážo plážo is a play on the expression ležet na pláži, to lie on the beach. Things are good. Lážo plážo. What did you do during your time off? Not much. Bylo to lážo plážo. Things were pretty laid back. During the holidays, especially the summer months, you may also be inclined to let things slide, not do much. If you're not doing anything other than just lazing around, playing your Xbox, or watching the Lord of the Rings films back-to-back, even though you've seen them 10 times, you're probably doing a bit of flákání. Flákace means to be lazy. How's your son preparing for school next year? Not much yet. Flákace. He's being lazy. It's not quite the same as meet Hawaii, though. Having Hawaii feels a lot more deserved. Flákání, in the long run, is a bit irresponsible. In the summer, with the holidays in the Czech Republic beginning in July, meet Hawaii and some flákání are to be expected. Everybody needs a bit of time to tune out, to relax, to recharge their batteries. Myself, I've got a couple things lined up to kick back. A paddle boat on the Vltava River. a game of petang on Letna Plain, maybe even some sports. No, I mean on Czech TV. The only problem, there doesn't seem to be any big event this year to crash out to. No Euro competition, no World Cup. Yeah, there's the Tour de France, but watching those guys on the bikes and the peloton in 30 or more degrees, that's nothing short of exhausting. The farthest thing from Hawaii, if you know what I mean.
Jan Wellinger with Soundcheck was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programs are available online at radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12 12099 Prague 2. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for joining us, and goodbye.